Well, when the reactor at Canada's Chalk River Laboratory nuclear facility was shut down more than a year ago, there was a lot of concern. The facility is the source of about one-third of the world's medical isotopes. That's a key component for a range of important medical tests. But the Chalk River facility is 53 years old, and it certainly needed repairs. Now Canada's Nuclear Safety Commission says the reactor is ready to be restarted. Gordon Edwards is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, and he says there are still several problems with the Chalk River. He joins me now in studio. Mr. Edwards, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Mr. Edwards, what were the problems that forced the shutdown of the Chalk River facility in the first place?
Well, originally there was a problem of safety equipment that 2 years earlier had led to a temporary shutdown to install earthquake-resistant safety equipment, an earthquake-resistant electrical backup system. One has to realize that this plant was built originally in 1957. That was when they were using manual typewriters. So that's the era that we're talking about. That's the era of technology. It's a brilliant plant, but it's very, very old, and it really harks back to a different era. So they've been trying to upgrade this plant, which was supposed to originally have been retired in the year 2000. They had firm plans to close it permanently in the year 2000. The only reason it has continued to operate beyond that point is that two replacement reactors they built to take over the job didn't work.
What happened? That was called Maple 1 and Maple 2 something.
That's correct.
And there was a lot of money invested in that, right?
There was several hundred million dollars invested in it, about $500 to $700 million. The problem is that these reactors were unable to operate in a stable way. They tended to run out of control.
Oh, that's a small problem, one would think.
What makes it even worse is that nobody understood why they were doing this. Why, when they started them up, they actually were built, they were finished, and they were started up. But they found that there was what's called a positive feedback, a positive reactivity coefficient. What that means is it's sort of like the Toyota problem with the accelerators, that all of a sudden the car just suddenly takes over and accelerates out of control. That's not the sort of thing you want to have happen.
That's amazing to think that the original plant was built back in an era of low tech, as it were, and now in this high tech area we're having problems. So those reactors are built, but they're just sitting there out of commission then?
They're not only sitting there, they're being dismantled. They're actively being dismantled, again at public expense. Mm. Now this old reactor has also had its accidents. For example, in 1958 there was an accident where 600 military men had to go there and clean up contamination from a nuclear accident at that plant. So these plants are inclined to be dangerous.
There was some corroded pipes as well, weren't there?
It wasn't exactly corroded pipes. There is a reactor vessel. It's just imagine a kind of an enormous cooking pot where the nuclear reaction takes place. And over the decades, the walls have become thin and they started to leak. And so there was heavy water leaking out of the reactor, and one of the dangers of that is it releases large amounts of radioactive hydrogen into the air that the workers breathe and also that goes into the atmosphere and into the Ottawa River. So they had to shut the plant down. It's also a safety concern because if you lose the cooling power of the water, then you could have a serious accident. Mm-hmm. That's what really led to the prolonged shutdown of more than a year. You might say, why does it take more than a year to fix a leak? Well, part of the reason is that they're very narrow, cramped spaces, very difficult to access, and highly radioactive. Because even after you take the irradiated fuel out of the reactor, many people don't understand the physics here. The actual steel, the actual building materials become highly radioactive just as a result of what's called activation. They become activated. And that means that the workers are working in a very intense radiation field. It makes it dangerous, it makes it slow, and it makes it it makes work that would normally take a couple of weeks take a year or more.
Mm-hmm. What about the actual nuclear fuel, the uranium being used there? Just tell me what kind of material this is, what it becomes, what's done with it.
Well, the fuel, like all reactors, the fuel is basically uranium. In this case, it's enriched to a certain degree, about 19...
What do you mean by enriched, first of all?
Okay, enriched, there's two types of uranium in nature. One of them is called uranium-238, and that's called depleted uranium. And the other one is U-235, and that's the stuff that they use to make bombs with, and that's the stuff that they use to run nuclear reactors with. But the U-235 is very scarce. It's only 7 atoms out of 1,000. And when they run it through an enrichment plant, they slowly increase the amount of U-235, the energetic isotope of uranium. That's why people are worried about Iran building an enrichment plant, because if they're able to enrich the uranium for civilian purposes, all they have to do is go further and they can enrich it for military purposes as well. To get it up to the very high military use, you have to get it up to about 90%, 95% U-235. And that's what they're using at Chalk River to produce the medical isotopes. They're using weapons-grade uranium. This stuff is so dangerous that anybody who got their hands on it could make a powerful atomic weapon using relatively low technology. For that reason, when journalists visit Chalk River these days to write about the NRU situation, they are escorted by men with submachine guns, just in case one of those journalists happens to be a plant who's trying to grab the highly enriched uranium. So one of the concerns that has not been really addressed in the hearing for the restart of this reactor is, why is Canada using weapons-grade uranium when the whole world, and in particular President Obama, has gone to great lengths to try and eliminate the use of this material worldwide? You remember back in April, there was a summit where there were 47 heads of state in Washington. What was the subject of that summit? Nuclear security. What was the main item on the agenda? How to lock down and eliminate, if possible, the use of weapons-grade uranium.
So what happens to that material once we're finished using it for this plant?
Once we're finished using
what it... What is it then at that point? I mean, is it used up? Is it reduced in strength or power or whatever?
It is reduced somewhat in enrichment, but one has to sort of understand that when you use – these are called targets. These highly enriched things are called targets, and they expose this to the neutron radiation from the reactor. When the reactor is running, it gives off neutrons. Mm-hmm. These neutrons cause the uranium atoms to split or fission. And it's those fission products, one of those fission products, there's several hundred of them, one of those fission products is the one they use for medical isotopes. It's called molybdenum-99. In order to get that molybdenum-99, they have to take the highly enriched uranium target, dissolve it in acid. It's now extremely radioactive because of the fission products. They have to separate out that tiny little fraction of molybdenum-99, which is used for medical use. And what you have then is high-level radioactive waste left over. And that's what happens to the enriched uranium targets.
And what do we do with that?
Well, what they did in the past, this is going back several decades. In the past, Chalk River used to send this back to the United States. They used to send the highly enriched uranium targets, once they were finished with them, back to the United States to a military facility down in Savannah River, South Carolina. And we discovered, our organization discovered, that they in fact were reusing that in the weapons program. And so we put a stop to it. We actually blew the whistle and got the ambassador for disarmament of Canada at that time, who was Douglas Roach, who was subsequently a senator. He saw to it that this practice was ended. And so what Chalk River has been doing has been just storing this highly enriched uranium, spent highly enriched uranium targets on site until the present time. In April, our current Prime Minister, Harper, said that he would start sending that used material back to the United States again. Our question is, do we have guarantees that that's not going to be used in the American weapons program? Mm.
Well, Canada is putting up this facility for sale. They're putting up the Chalk River facility, like they're putting up Canada's atomic energy up for sale,
yeah,
which includes Chalk River facility. So what's going to happen there?
It's not crystal clear exactly what they're selling. First of all, they can't sell the Chalk River facility for one simple reason. Nobody would buy it. And the reason nobody would buy it is because there's billions of dollars worth of liability there in terms of nuclear waste. It's a very heavily contaminated site. There's all kinds of radioactive waste on site. Nobody wants to buy that. So what the Harper government hopes to do is to sell off what they hope to be the profit-making part, which is marketing nuclear reactors overseas, the design and sale of nuclear reactors to other countries. But they would not have the responsibility for the mess at Chalk River. That would still be a taxpayer responsibility.
How much life does this have left in it then, if it was theoretically supposed to be decommissioned in 2000?
Well, that's a very good question. Obviously, it can't keep going forever. It's already one of the oldest reactors in the world. And it's ironic that people talk about these medical isotopes as being a high priority, and yet around the world, the reactors that have been doing the legwork are these extremely old, decrepit reactors, which are, have nothing to do with power generation, have nothing to do with electricity production. So that's a very good question. What we're finding is that there are alternatives now. In fact, there could have been alternatives much earlier. At the University of Sherbrooke here in Quebec, experimenters have found that they can produce this isotope without using any nuclear reactor or even using uranium. They use a cyclotron instead. What a cyclotron is a particle accelerator. Mm-hmm. And you just speed up particles to a high velocity and you slam them into a target and you can produce these medical isotopes that way. McGill, in fact, used a cyclotron to produce all of its medical isotopes for many, many years. So we're hoping that that's going to be the direction that's going to go. In Saskatchewan, there's a gentleman who has gone to Ottawa and told them that just two linear accelerators, that's another type of accelerator which is not in a circle but is in a straight line. He said just two linear accelerators could supply all of the medical isotopes for all of Canada, and you wouldn't need the Chalk River reactor. You wouldn't need highly enriched uranium. You wouldn't need any uranium, and you wouldn't need any reactors.
Well, Mr. Edwards, thank you very much for this. Very, very interesting and thought-provoking.
Thank you.
And I've been speaking with Gordon Edwards. He is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. The NRU reactor at the Chalk River nuclear facility is due to be restarted this month and is supposed to begin producing medical isotopes by the end of July. We requested an interview with the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, but they said no one was available to speak with us today. They did say a spokesperson might be available next week, so we do hope to have more for you on this story next week here on The Link.